Well, talking about believing in ability, Jack Charlton certainly believed in your ability, Stephen, because more or less he included you in the World Cup squad for 1990, which we talked about a wee bit earlier. But that must be some memory for you. The world, I'd say it's one of your best memories of football would be 1990, would it?
Oh, of course, I mean, to actually play so many games in the qualifying group, I was amazed. But I'll never forget the walk on the beach the night before the England game.
Go ahead, tell us about that.
Well,
as much as you can.
I'll tell you now. I got the phone call. Can you meet me? I'm on the beach. So I walk down and the big Jack's there and he put his arm around me and I'm thinking, no, I don't like this.
He's
going to give me the fatal news. I ain't playing tomorrow night. And he just went, well, how's things? And I says, great. Looking forward to it. He says, yeah. He says, Chrissy's a better defender than you.
Uh-huh.
I says, yeah, but I can defend and go forward as well. And he went, oh, I'm not denying that, but I think Chrissy Uton, he'll be able to handle Chris Waddle better than you will.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I says, you're not going to leave me out of that team because of that. I says, I'm playing. Chris Waddle won't get a kick tomorrow.
Good, good.
And I thought, if I hadn't have said that, I don't think Jack Charlton would have picked me.
Yeah. That's what he was looking for.
He
was testing you there, wasn't he? And so you were the youngest player. At 21 at that time in the World Cups, did that put that wee bit extra pressure on you at that time?
No. I mean, I think it made life easier because we had such an experienced team. And at the end of the day, you can't not but improve when you're playing with experienced players.
The
information you're given, if you take on board the information and do your own job, I don't think you can fail. You will make mistakes, don't get me wrong. Everybody makes mistakes. But to actually to be around at that time, it makes you grow up even quicker.
And of course, we all knew Jack for his, he was bullish and everything and showed plenty of confidence in himself. But he'd always the name of being hard to part with the money. But I remember Charlie O'Leary telling me that he went over and went to the house or something, and he ended up that Jack was that miserable. He had a fork and the sugar bowl instead of a spoon,
I thought it was a sieve. But I mean, Jack has that persona, but he was a big softy, really.
He
let us as players bond and get together, and trusted us.
Yeah,
and we rewarded him with performances.
That's
and
it,
wins. That's what it's all about, as you well know. There's no magic formula.
But it's lovely to be able to trust your players, isn't it? And of course, you respect your manager then for giving you that wee bit of leeway instead of being under the thumb the whole time, which is hard.
Well, that's the other thing. He was great at that. And he trusted our mistrust.
That's a good way. That's a good way of putting it anyway. I hope the listeners can make that one up.
That is Irish.
Yeah. 1991, you went to Villa that year.
Yes.
Were you surprised that you went to Villa as we were here in Dundalk? Because we thought you were going to finish your career with Liverpool. It was looking that way at that stage.
You always think that, but people forget. There was a rule came in that year that Scotch, Irish and Welsh were foreigners. And people don't realise it only came in for a year. But nobody was to know. And Graeme Souness said to me, look, I'd love to keep you, but I've got four left backs. Three of them are English. You're Irish. He says, you're not going to get a game.
Didn't add up, Dad. Did it?
Well, it makes sense because you're only allowed to play so many games.
That's right,
And if you've got three English left backs, you're not going to waste the position. We had the likes of Ronnie Whelan still there and Rush, and they were considered as foreigners as well.
Scottish. It's something you don't think about
just think, oh well, that happened and that happened. And to be honest, I'd only just signed a 4-year contract. Just prior to Graham coming in.
Yeah.
And I was very settled. And like yourself, I thought I was, you know, I'm going to be here for at least another 10 years.
But it done you no harm, the trip to Villa. Sure, it didn't, Villa Park.
When it happened and whatnot, I didn't really want to go.
No.
Because I wanted to stay at Liverpool, obviously. But as you say, it did me no harm whatsoever. And all I can say is that I wouldn't have spoke to Villa only for it. I knew how big Ron has got his teams to play football.
Yeah.
I knew that he always had a team that was capable of winning a trophy. And that was a big thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the fact that it was... Well, the other thing is, what people might think is mad.
Yeah.
They wore the same jersey as St Dominic's. In my eyes.
Well, you're still thinking like that, you well.
I was, yeah.
That's great.
I thought to myself, well,
that's lovely, like
that's,
it is.
That's the same jersey. Actually, I'll never forget.
They give you your start, like.
I'll never forget, there was a Carling Cup, or in them days, Milk Cup game.
Yeah.
And it was a midweek sports special, and it was Villa v Liverpool. And that was the very first time I saw Villa play, and they had the claret and blue jersey. And I thought, that's what we wear every weekend. And that's what I took an interest in Villa then. But that's going off the mark a wee bit.
Nice.
But you don't know, things happen for a reason, but I absolutely love the club.
I
couldn't have been happier to play for two great clubs in my life.
So it worked out very well.
And I think I progressed as a footballer as well within myself.
Well, I'm going to let you cool down, because in 1994, as you know, we had to go to Orlando, and you were famous for that. Hold on now. And there's two quiz tickets. Have you a question by any chance? No? You'd like to ask?
You probably got more stats than I do.
Well, well, I'm after saying who your first international match was against. Would that be a very hard one? Because we have two free tickets here.
Well, you give the answer.
For the game. Well, I did. And more or less, I'll give it again, I suppose, because...
Who was my first goal against for Ireland?
I don't even know that one, so I won't be going to the game now. Who was your first goal against?
Well, I can't give the answer out.
That's right. Well, you better write it down for me, because I can't. I don't remember.
I better make sure.
See, you better know, because I don't know. Maybe I'll remember when you write it down.
I hope it was me first one.
Oh yeah.
Free kick.
Free kick. I remember it now. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was
the
my
home
first
of Odger. Two free tickets for what was Stephen's starting's first goal for the Republic of Ireland, and two free tickets for Saturday. We'll do that right up to the very end, the next couple of days when I'm on the radio. Stephen, we're back into the heat again, son. Orlando, tell me about that. That's World Cup.
Well, prior to the World Cup, but. I had a few operations, to be honest, in the previous 18 months. I had my groins done, both groins done. I had my knee done. I had my Achilles done. It was like everything was sort of packing in at that stage, but not in a bad way.
Each
operation was...
Wear and tear, more or less.
Yeah, it was a clean-up, more than that, and serious. I think the longest one was my Achilles, out for 6 weeks, which they thought was a partial rupture, but luckily ended up just wear and tear, really, more than anything, just needing a tidy up. But I didn't feel fit enough going into that tournament. I knew I wasn't fit enough, and unfortunately...
So it wasn't all about the heat, like, was it?
It wasn't all about the heat, but it didn't help.
Yeah.
I mean...
I remember you standing there before you, as the two teams line up, and you seemed to be really affected, like, you know, and with your sort of fair hair, you stood out, like,
well,
you know.
It was, well, to be honest with you, it wouldn't happen today, playing at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be allowed through health and safety.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy. You're told to go out of the sun at that time in Orlando.
That's right.
Yet we're playing in a bowl
where
Irish supporters were actually being carried out when we're doing the warm-up on stretchers.
Well, we're going to go through that when we have to go to Qatar in the 2016 or something, isn't it?
Aye, but we'll be in the stand.
Huh?
The shade.
Oh, good man. You never lost us. You never lost us. I'm going to take you now to Mick McCarthy, because he made you captain of the Irish team, Stephen. You know, without saying, it was, must have been a great honour for you, wasn't it?
To play for your country is great. Yeah. To get the honour of captain your country is fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah. Not bad for a man from Dundalk, like, is it?
Well, that's it. You know, you think if you ever play for your country, what a great achievement.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been fortunate enough to play over 100 times. And
102, know, what, is that right?
102.
Yeah, that's some record all the same, isn't it?
It's not bad, you know, for a not. Wee man from Dundalk.
It is not, right? From the St. Dominic's. You know, but... you know, 102 caps, when you look back at it now, Stephen, like, now, I had eight amateur international caps, but they always catch me eye, like, and they always take back memories to me. And you have 102, no matter where you go, you must be stepping over them. Every one of them must, I know you get the different teams and the different panel of them, you know, but when you look at them, Jesus, you can still remember those games to the day, would you?
You'd remember virtually most of them.
There's
always something, as you well know, has happened in a game of, it might be only a friendly, something's happened where you just remember. Sometimes you might forget, but something triggers it now and again.
It takes it up again, I'm going to take it to 2006, you're retired now, and you get the international job, Irish international job. Looking back now, Stephen, you had plenty of time to do that. Would you have done anything different than you'd done at that time?
Absolutely not.
No, I was expecting that answer,
John,
somehow.
People don't realise I was approached by the FA a lot earlier than January.
Yeah.
I had plenty of time to think about it and ponder it, and to be honest with you, my body was packing in. I knew the end of my days playing was coming to an end. And I felt that, you know, after Brian's 4 years, that, well, you know, maybe it is the right time. There's a fresh impetus of talent coming through. All right, they'll need time. And that's why I insisted to the FA that if it was 4 years and I was allowed to do the job, I'd have no problems.
Yeah,
as long as I can do certain.
And a lot of those youngsters have come on, haven't they? That you had, like, you give them your first, the first chance, more or less. And, you know, a lot of people forget that, because as you walked in there, you knew the people were retiring more or less over the hill, and you had to put a new structure in, you know. But this is, people were after results, and the Dublin papers were after you, of course.
I thought I was in trouble when we played my first friendly, and the headline was honeymoon period over. Jesus Christ.
Now,
here we go.
And what about, give us I'm the gaffer, go on.
That's, you know, you go to a press conference and all they were interested in, well, is what's happening here with you and Bobby, who's, in England, we say gaffer. Over here you say boss.
Boss,
maybe.
That's
all it is.
Yeah, it was just a term you used, wasn't it?
We've got the smart Alex that can take the mickey. So what?
Right,
it's a term. Don't crucify me. I don't mind.
Yeah.
If you want to make a laughing joke, fair enough. But, like, people get... The only thing I was trying to point out to them, that it would be me that would be dictating.
You were the boss, and that was it. You were going to... Surely to God, you take a job to put your own ideas into it, don't you?
And Lord of Mercy and... So Bobby, he was fantastic. Even through his illness, like the amount of times he came when he shouldn't have come to games and to training. But he backed everything I was doing.
That was brilliant, John.
We used to sit for afternoon. You know what it's like. You'd be sitting in the hotel bored because the players would be resting.
That's right.
You wouldn't know what to do. And we'd sit for hours and then talking. You know yourself, the more you talk about things and the experiences,
you can always learn, can't you? You can always learn.
And when I said this to certain people that you've mentioned already, they didn't know what I was talking about. And I thought, well, okay, you're not football men here. We'll get on with it. But, you know, so Bobby had some great sayings and great ideas. And you know, at the end of the day, you just...
And the record to show for it, hadn't he?
Most definitely. And went through went through a lot more than I did England. Through the same process.
The same process, yeah.
But, you know, I learned so much off him, and I've become very good pals with his pal Charlie Woods, who was the chief scout at the time.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, we always question ourselves after training, after each game, can we do that and better?
You know, through the litany.
Can we improve on transport? Can we improve on meals and hotels? Can we improve on training? Can we do any more? Should we do, you know?
Yeah.
And that was a regular occurrence. And, you know, so Bobby would go, nah, you're doing enough. You're doing it properly.
Doing it
properly.
Huh?
What more can you do?
Oh, yeah.
You can only go out there. And, you know, I think what annoyed him when I finally told him what was coming, he says, how can they do that when you've only got beat one in your last 13 games with 10 men out in Czech Republic? And I went, Bobby, that's the nature of the beast. He says, no, it doesn't make sense. What's the expectations? And to be fair, we exceeded expectations.
You did indeed.
So, you know, you know me, John. I wouldn't sit here. I can hold my head up high. Nothing to hide. If you ask any of the players that were there, all right, there might be one or two might have a gripe, but overall, in the main, I know they all enjoyed training.
They won't cross the street when they see you coming now anyway. They'll shake your hand.
Yeah.
And that's just your saying you were doing something right, isn't it?
They've always done that.
Yeah.
They've always done that. When I've been to games at Croke Park or the Aviva now, the lads, straight over. And that's not just the players. And to me, that's a bigger compliment than anything.
Yeah. The interviews after the game. Now you've no bother today. You're a gabby buggy. You talk for 3 hours here, and I'd talk to you for 3 hours, wouldn't you?
There's no hidden agenda with you.
No, there's no hidden. No, it's straight down the middle, isn't it? You know.
But John, the thing is, you're listening to me.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought they were listening, but they had the agenda, and that's You know yourself. I was lucky I could get in the plane.
But you felt they were always looking for your head, didn't you?
It wasn't my head. They had a different agenda.
Yeah.
And I knew that. And I know that through certain people.
Yeah.
And I know I was followed around the town and in Birmingham by certain newspapers.
To
try and get a story on certain things. But that's, you know, if that's
what... was the phone, was it? It wasn't Bug, no.
Well, if it was, they'd get nothing out of that phone.
Well, I have to ask you now, Stephen, coming the last 5 minutes, any involvement, and we'll go back into the Liverpool legends, any involvement with football now, people would love to know what Stephen Sarton's doing. Well, I'm sure it's still around football somewhere.
It is. I've been scouting since last Christmas for Middlesbrough in the Midlands area of England, and next year I will be doing some scouting, but unfortunately I can't tell you at this moment. But I'll be doing some scouting in the Premiership, so that'll keep me involved in that hand. And I'm also doing a bit of work for a company not far from us, which is also related to football matters.
Right. So you're still involved in football, and that's the main thing.
Yeah.
But like, you've too much experience to lose now to football. Your experience should never be lost to football.
Unfortunately, there's lots of players that get lost to football.
Bureaucratic. Oh yeah.
Means
there was always red tape somewhere along the line, wasn't
there? But I mean, at the end of the day, I've been fortunate. I'm out training my local village team on a Tuesday night, who play in a reasonable standard league. And I train the under-14s where my lad plays, and you know, that keeps you in the training side of things, because all I want to do is be out in the
When you're training kids, doesn't it take you back down to earth, the way they just play the game, like, and run after the ball, and you're trying to sort out positions out? But
John,
it makes you
modern day kids, have you?
You have them here in Dundalk, like,
they tell you what to do.
You know, they're more or less telling you what to do, but you take that for granted, don't you?
Of course.
But you expect it from them now, because they're a lot more old fashioned than I was and you were. You know, know, and they got away.
I don't know about you.
They got away with more than you or me get away with. Anyway, we better get back to this game.
Yeah.
As I said, playing again in Oriel Park, you'd be hoping for a big crowd to turn up, Stephen, naturally enough, to get a bit of an atmosphere. And plus the fact that it's Oilford and Dock Football Club, who yourselves and the rest of the Liverpool legends is only too happy to help.
Well, that's it. And, you know, judging by the response and meeting everybody today, whether it be at Harvey Norman's or up at the Crown Plaza, you know...
You got a good response there, did you?
The response has been fantastic. Tickets seem to be going very well. And you must remember, John, there's a hell of a huge following for Liverpool.
Oh, there is, yeah.
And especially some of the guys that are coming over.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
And at the end of the day as well, there's a Dundalk Legends team there.
Yeah.
With Tommy Maxter, Tom McNulty.
Yeah.
You know, to name but...
There'll be a bit of kick in the midfield there, will there?
Ah, well, hopefully if we
where do you expect to be playing in this team yourself?
Well, I don't know. I'll see where Tom McNulty is.
Well, I heard you saying you're doing a bit of training. I'll give you a warning. Whatever side he is, go the other side.
Hello.
And, Stephen, your body fitness-wise, like, you're still doing a wee bit, naturally enough.
I'm falling apart, John.
No, you're not. No, you're
am.
Not. Are you?
Ah, no, me...
With the wear and tear be showing now on your body, say?
Unfortunately,
you know,
the wear and tear on me left kicking muscle, naturally enough, probably overuse.
Oh.
I wonder how
that
happened.
It was used very well, but, you know.
Well, it does take its toll, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I can go out and do a wee bit of training, but once I start kicking balls and twisting and turning, it does take its toll. But I normally get out and try and get a game
whenever
I can, but I have to be careful as well.
So can we expect any left-footed specials from you?
Well, you know me, once I cross the white line, I can't help myself.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll suffer the next few days.
Yeah, but don't do it now. When you see it now, you say, will I or won't I? Say, I won't. You know, that's my advice to you. Because...
you know I can't.
You could be on the table for another while after that.
Oh, I know.
Stephen, just sum up the your feelings coming back to Dundalk and this game now. Just sum it up for everyone here in Dundalk, because we're all, as I said, delighted to have you back, and great to see the Liverpool legends coming. And everyone there, the people grew up with them,
yeah.
And I remember them so well. And,
well, I think there's a nice mixture from the ages, you know, from those recently finished to those of the successful period.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can get the weather that's been in it today, it'll be a wonderful occasion.
A wonderful occasion.
You know, all right. We're not going to be racing up and down the park like we used to, but you'll still see some of the ball.
The skill will still be there.
I mean, I've seen some of these guys and they're still flying fit.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're still a joy to watch.
Yeah. And as we spoke earlier, they have that commitment that they still want to win. Like, isn't that right?
And it's all about a fun day as well. As well as we're raising money for a great cause. For the Dundalk Football Club, which, you know, they've done a great job in promoting this through Harvey Norman Plaza.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's back our town.
It's the future of a football club in the town, isn't it?
Well,
every game, any game like this, like, you know, we know the financial state of the country, it's everywhere, that anything we can do to help Ian Foss to have a big on budget, stuff like that, to take players in, they can put Dundalk on the map as a bonus, isn't it?
Well, it'll add to developing even more kids in the area.
Yeah,
and
that's
you know, getting coaches in and getting better coaches in all the time.
Yeah,
and, yeah, even more coaches, and that's what it's all about.
Well, Stephen, it's an hour now gone. Believe it or not, I told you we're Gabby Bugger.
And I thought it was just you.
all I can say, thank you very much for taking the time out to talk to me. I enjoyed every minute of it. I knew you would anyway. The minute you were coming, when I heard you were coming, it's been my pleasure to see and talk to you. And all I can say is you'll never be forgotten, because you're still a very special legend in Dundalk. And even though you're away from home a lot, from your own home here in Dundalk, you're never forgotten in Dundalk. And thank you for coming in today.
Thanks very much, John. Appreciate it.